How do you measure the economic impact of a young person who is, for whatever reason, not able to properly contribute fully to society and to fulfill their potential? Those are some of the questions my next guest has endeavoured to try to answer. Associate Professor David McKenzie is from Swinburne University, and he's here to address the annual Homelessness Forum in Lennox Head today. And also joining us, Trish Evans, who's from the Northern Rivers Social Development Council. Good morning and welcome to you both.
Good morning, Joanne.
Professor McKenzie, where do you start to quantify the loss of potential in economic terms that youth homelessness entails?
Well, this is an issue that's concerned us for a long time, and it's obviously a very difficult. 400 young people over 3 years, and about 300 of them were associated with homelessness services, were experiencing homelessness, and another 100 were otherwise disadvantaged but not homeless. And we asked them a host of questions on three occasions about what they were doing, what they were going through, particularly their use of services, particularly health and justice services, you know, in detail. And from that, we were able to calculate the dollar figure for the use of health and justice services due to homelessness. And in brief, what it amounts to overall is something like $626 million per person per year, $626 million per year. We only spend $620 million on homelessness services. So there's a huge cost to the community and the budget by allowing homelessness or by not addressing homelessness. And I think this is the first time that we've actually been able to quantify that cost.
And, of course, that cost is spread throughout the community. Governments may not realise the extent to which that youth homelessness problem is actually a drag on economic activity, as it were.
Well, I don't think they did, have in the past. I mean, generally, departments and governments have looked at the cost of providing homelessness services. And if you actually cut that back, you actually increase the cost to the budget. And in a climate where there's a lot of talk about budget repair and addressing the deficit, in fact, the smart way to go in this area is to actually do early intervention and rapid rehousing. Because every time you do that, there's a distinct saving that amounts up to millions and millions of dollars.
So you actually looked at the reverse case too, the impact of the money that is spent on homelessness and how that early intervention works?
Well, unfortunately, early intervention, which was signalled in the White Paper of 2008, has not been delivered. It has not been delivered by the government of the day, that was the Labor government. It's not been delivered by its successor, the Liberal government. And I think it's really the challenge for government to recognise, even on this economic argument, that if they invest in early intervention, it's probably our first policy priority, that in fact that will have an economic impact on the budget, and a positive one.
So what is some of the evidence for the economic benefits of addressing homelessness? Can you go into a bit more detail for us?
Well, I mean, if you take health services, when a young person becomes homeless, there's all kinds of additional use of health services from consequences of them being homeless. And where the dollars start to really add up is particularly their use of hospital stays, mental health facility stays. That's where the dollars mount up. So every young person that you can divert from becoming homeless, the saving is about $15,000 altogether across health and justice per person per year. Now, the cost of homelessness services, it's a bit hard to work out, but it's something like $15,000 as well. So if you can prevent it, you actually the cost saving is actually potentially, in the long run, $30,000, although health and justice services are demand-driven cost. So as soon as you don't go to hospital, there's a saving.
And, of course, while we can talk about the dollars and cents, we are talking about people and their lives and their ability to
Absolutely.
Contribute in a more fulfilling way for them and for society in general. Did you look at those intangibles?
Well, look, of course, the cost argument is only one aspect of it. There are compelling moral reasons why it's unacceptable for any young Australian or any Australian to be homeless in this country. You know, and we have generally a well-developed and diverse homelessness service system. It's probably not as extensive as it needs to be. I think most people who work in the sector would testify to that. But it's you know, we don't have the big shelters they have in the United States. We don't have the sort of social extent of rough sleeping that they have in the United States. So Australia's position is not a bad one, but we have failed to meet the challenge of early intervention and to actually prevent people getting into homelessness. And of course, everyone knows in the community the problem of affordable housing. I mean, that's an aspect of this issue that I think is now, you know, I hear people talking about it all the time in terms of young people, parents. Everyone's aware of it, the high cost of purchasing houses, the high cost of renting apartments or houses right throughout the country, particularly in Sydney and Melbourne.
Trish, of course, there are many young people who are homeless in the Northern Rivers. Do you know what the figures are, and can you perhaps put a human face on who those people are?
Look, interesting you say that. I mean, in terms of the numbers, you can give numbers for those people who actually have found services and are using services. But our best shot at getting numbers is the census, and it's 5 years since the census was conducted. We just know at this point that, the largest group, very significant group, are young people. But at the last count, I think there were 1,200 people who were homeless in our region. I think what's particularly telling about homelessness in our region is that while we only have 4% of the state's population, at the last census we had 20% of the state's rough sleepers. And a lot of those are young people.
Mm. And, of course, we know the youth homelessness stats are very high too, even in a region that has had historically high levels of youth unemployment. So presumably that translates to the number of those people who are struggling to pay rent and put food on the table.
Yeah, well, I mean, it affects every group in our population, I guess some more than others, but particularly if you're single, and that often is young people, that's single older people, but it affects everyone. Anyone on the average income of this region can't afford the average rent.
Mm. What are you hoping to get across to the participants in today's forum? I mean, these people are already, of course, well briefed on the issues because most of them work in the sector.
Yes, most of them do. Really pleased to see that we have got... Sorry, I've snuck out of the venue and it's too close to the skate park. There's certainly some local government representatives here today. We've also got some people who have experienced homelessness. And in fact, one of our presentations is a group of young people with a lived experience of homelessness. But I think what really was driving certainly the timing of this year's event was the census on the 9th of August. It's a really important opportunity to capture information on people who are experiencing or at risk of homelessness.
How do you do that when people don't necessarily have an address?
It's a household survey, and if you don't have if you're homeless or certainly in an unstable situation, you're easily missed in the census. And so we really need to, because it's a household survey, it's got some problems around doing this sort of assessment, but the ABS has done a lot of work and they actually have an enumeration strategy for homeless, and we have the manager for the New South Wales strategy here on the forum program today. But the ABS, for example, will allow the capturing of information on personal forms for over a period of a week for people who are rough sleeping. Now, that means that they need to know who the services are that are working with people. And today we will be bringing together quite a number of local ABS personnel who are collecting for the census and a lot of the services. And that's going to be really helpful for that.
So if people are listening to this now and they're sleeping in their car because they don't have a roof over their heads, what should they do? Should they speak to the Social Development Council or someone else and say, look,
yes,
I don't have an address and I would like a form?
Yes, and they need, I think, certainly a lot of those people do know key services, and certainly community centres are key services in this respect. Yes, our services. But I think the really important thing too is that they... what often happens is there's a question on the census form we all answer, and it's about our usual residence. And what happens there, we really need people to say none if they don't have a usual residence. What often happens, though, is young people, for example, might put the home that they had, thinking that they will, that is their usual residence, they just can't be there. Well, that then disguises the fact that they don't have a home. Mm. Same with people who are staying with friends and family. They might name their last home as their usual residence, so they're likely to be counted as a visitor. So it's very important that that response is none. Mm. And if a person, say, is counted in a caravan park cabin or a hotel room because they're there because a service has actually, put them up there for crisis accommodation, they really need to say none crisis. But, it's hard to get that message out. So that's one of the purposes of today.
Mm. Professor McKenzie, are you seeing, and we've only got about a minute and a half until the news, but are you seeing governments, people in positions of influence starting to take note of the evidence about the impact of youth homelessness in particular?
Look, we haven't seen much evidence from in the federal sphere over the past couple of years, I have to say, and I hope that will change. But we have seen some continuing interest sparking across several state jurisdictions, New South Wales, Victoria and South Australia in particular. It's a complex sort of thing. Money's always the issue in terms of resources. And generally, homelessness services have been funded through joint funding from the Commonwealth and the states. And we do need that to continue. And I guess one of the big arguments that I'm sort of raising at this forum, which is terrific that it's happening, is the cost issues. Because that's one of the things that government does pay attention to. And it's part of their discourse. So what we're saying is invest and save money. That's the smart way to go. And, of course, that will at least improve how we address some of these issues.
Well, it has been great to speak to both of you ahead of this conference. Thank you both for taking our call.
Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Associate Professor David McKenzie from the Swinburne University and Trish Evans, the convener of the Northern Rivers Housing Forum. They are speaking at Lennox Head in a special homelessness forum, and the spotlight this year is on youth homelessness, the economic impact of homelessness on young people in particular. And if you know a young person who is homeless or you've ever been in that situation, you'd like to contact me and share your experience, SMS Joe to 0467 922 684. It's 9 o'clock.